The thick, springy branch struck its target, an outlaw named Dewey, with several hundred pounds of impacted force. The man was knocked from his saddle, his nose flattened, and his jaw busted. He hit the ground and didn't move. Smoke led the horse into the timber, took the food packets from the saddlebags, and then stripped saddle and bridle from the animal and turned it loose. Smoke faded back into the heavy timber at the sounds of more approaching horses.
Good God! Look at Dewey, would you?
What the hell hit him? His entire face is smashed in.
Where's his horse? We gotta get him to a doctor.
Doctor? Hell, there ain't a doctor within 50 miles of here. See if you can get him awake and find out what happened.
I bet it was that damn Jensen.
Smoke put a .44-40 slug into the chest of one of them.
Get into cover! Huh!
Smoke fired again. The bullet missed, striking a horse in the head and killing it instantly. The animal dropped, pinning its rider.
Oh, my leg!
Horton and Max put the spurs to their horses and got the hell out of there, leaving their dead and wounded behind. It wasn't long before Lee and his bunch discovered the outlaw pinned under the dead horse. Lee and his bunch muscled the dead horse off gates and to a man grimaced at the sight of his broken and mangled leg.
Damnation. We gotta set that and splint it. Anybody got any whiskey?
Yeah, I got a bottle here.
You better get drunk, Gates, because this is gonna hurt.
Dewey's face was a torn, mangled mess. He was missing teeth, both eyes were swollen shut and blackened with bruises, and his nose and jaw were shattered.
We gotta get him, boss. Both Jensen and that old coot Charlie Starr is getting personal with me now. Me and Gates go way back together.
And what you got in mind, Boots? I'm damn sure open to suggestions.
I go in after him on foot. Hell, he can hear horses coming in from a long ways off. But my daddy was a trapper and a hunter up in Northwest Territories, and I can engine with the best of them.
I like the idea, but two would be better than one. You might get him in a crossfire.
I'll go with him. I'd like to skin that damn Jensen alive.
Well, this is your chance, Harry.
Both Harry Jennings and Boots were old hands in the timber, and they carried moccasins in their saddlebags. They left behind boots and spurs, took 2 days' provisions, and struck out, following the very faint trail that almost anyone leaves in the brush. Bent down blades of grass, a broken twig or lower limb from a scrub tree, a heel print in damp earth. Boots lost the trail at mid-morning and then picked it up a few minutes later.
You ain't that far ahead of us. Grass hadn't started springing back yet. All right, no talking from now on. He's close, real close. Come on.
But Smoke had been watching his back trail, and he knew that sooner or later somebody would try him on foot. Leaving his pack on the ground and some brush, he climbed a tall tree and began scanning his back trail with field glasses. On a second sweep, he caught the two men as they skirted a small meadow, staying near the timber. Back on the ground, Smoke backtracked and left the trail. Not a too obvious one, for that would be a dead giveaway, but a trail a skilled woodsman would pick up. He had a hunch those two men behind him were very good in the woods, because he hadn't been leaving much of a trail for anyone to follow to begin with. Back at a narrow point in the game trail, he quickly rigged a swing trap, using a young sapling about as big around as his wrist. The shadowy brush-covered bend in the trail should keep even the most skilled eyes from seeing the piece of dirt-rubbed rawhide he'd placed as a trip. Then Smoke carefully backed off about 20 yards and bellied down against the cool earth under some foliage. Soon, Smoke saw Harry Jennings easing forward, his smile savage as he saw the just-crushed foliage on the trail. He touched it.
Real fresh. You're only minutes away now, ain't you, Jensen?
His left boot stepped cleanly over the trip, but not his right. Jennings experienced a savage blow in his belly, just below the V of the rib cage. Then the pain hit him.
Oh,
stake had been rawhided to the sapling. The stake was now buried in his belly, his blood gushing out.
Oh, Jesus, God!
Oh, my Lord! I can't stand the pain! Oh, shoot me, Boots! Shoot me!
Yeah! Shoot him, Boots!
You son of a bitch, Jensen! You ain't no decent human being! This ain't fighting fair at all!
Jennings stood in the center of the game trail, afraid to move, both hands clutching the bloody end of the stake. From his hiding place, Smoke tossed a stick to his right. As soon as the stick hit the ground, Boots fired.
You ain't got no right to do this! This ain't the way it's supposed to be!
Oh, Jesus Christ, Boots! You gotta help me! I can't stand! I don't know more of him!
Jennings died before Boots' eyes. The man's legs were spread wide and both hands held onto the end of the stake. The thick sapling kept him in an upright position.
Oh, shit!
Boots got down on his belly and started crawling away from the bloody scene. A thrown stone landed just a few inches from his nose. Boots almost crapped his long handles.
Wrong way, Bootsy.
Stand up and fight me like a man, goddamn you! Give me a chance!
Same kind of chance you gave those little girls you raped and tortured and scalped and killed, Bootsy.
I didn't scalp nobody! That was Dolph what done it, and you done killed him!
I'm gonna kill you too, Bootsy.
I surrender! I give up! You gotta take me in for a trial! That's a legal way now, Smoke!
I'm a wanted man, Bootsy. I got murder warrants out on me. That's why you boys are chasing me, to collect those thousands of dollars. Now, how in the hell can you surrender to me?
I'm gonna stand up now, Jensen. My rifle is on the ground. My gun's in leather. We'll fight this out man to man.
A hard hand closed around one of Boots' ankles and jerked just as he was standing up. Boots hit the ground, belly down, knocking the breath from him. Now something with the strength of a bear flipped him over and tore the gun belt from his waist. He watched the belt and guns go sailing into the woods. He looked up into the cold brown eyes of Smoke Jensen.
Get up!
Boots crawled to his moccasins and watched as Smoke smiled at him and lifted his hands, clenching them into big leather-gloved fists.
Okay, Jensen. Now you're playing my game. I'm gonna stomp you into a greasy puddle.
Smoke hit him flush in the mouth. Boots lunged at Smoke, both fists flailing the air. Smoke hit him a combination left and right that staggered the outlaw and pulped his already split lips. Boots shook his head and tried to clear it. But Smoke pressed him hard, not giving him a chance to do anything except try his best to cover up. Boots held his fist in front of his face, and Smoke hammered at his belly with sledgehammer blows. Boots felt his ribs crack, and he knew that Jensen was gonna beat him to death. He tried to run. Smoke grabbed him by his dirty shirt collar and threw him back onto the trail.
Now get up and fight, you yellow bastard!
Boots crawled to his feet and started to raise his fists. Smoke drove a rat through his guard and flattened his nose, blood and snot flying. Boots backed up against a tree as his eyes watered and his vision turned misty.
This is for those little girls. Back on the trail, Boots! For that poor woman and that man you sorry lumps of shit used for target practice!
Pain exploded in wild bursts in Boots' chest and belly and sides as Jensen pounded him unmercifully. Ribs splintered like toothpicks. The last thing Boots saw was those terrible cold eyes of Smoke Jensen. He knew then why people called him the Last Mountain Man. Al Martin and his bunch came upon Jennings and Boots in the mid-afternoon.
Madre de Dios! Help me get Boots up! Put him down! Put him down!
Oh, Jesus!
Jensen busted all his ribs. Probably splintered into his innards. There is nothing we can do for you, Boots.
Yes, you can. Shoot me.
We'll get Jensen for you, Boots. That's a promise.
No. Give it up. Leave the gang. Leave the mountains. Go to farming or something. If you're gonna outlaw, get 1,000 miles away from Jensen. He's a goddamn devil. Leave him alone.
You don't mean that. That's just your pain talking. You don't want revenge?
Revenge ain't gonna do me no good now.
Al Martin's men rode until they came upon Ray's group and Pecos's punks. He brought him up to date.
Taylor's dead. The blood poisoning killed him, I reckon.
This ain't working out like we planned, Al. This is supposed to be an easy hunt. Every day we're losing 2-3 men to Jensen and Charlie Starr. Hell, another week, there ain't gonna be none of us left.
Jensen could be sneaking up on us right now, and he ain't playing by no rule book.
The way I see it, there is only 2 things we can do. Continue the hunt until we kill Jensen, or he kills us, or turn tail and run away.
I ain't running from Jensen. I think I can take him in a stand-up shootout.
You are a fool. I have seen Jensen work. He is smooth, my young friend, and very, very quick. His draw is a blur that the eyes cannot catch.
I am faster.
It'll be dark in a few hours, and it's gonna rain. Let's get back to the base camp and tell Lee what happened.
When the skies opened up, Smoke sat in his lean-to, and drank his coffee, and ate his early supper. He felt that outlaws being what they were, he would be reasonably safe from search in the cold pouring rain. They'd be too busy staying dry to look for him, but he still carefully put out his fire before he rolled up in his blankets and closed his eyes. Since Mills and his marshals were going to stay a spell where they were, they made their camp a secure and snug one, using canvas and limbs. Quarters were close together with a cooking area just in front, easily accessible to all.
Well, this rain should bring the killing to a halt for a time. You know, Albert, I don't approve of what Smoke is doing, but I understand why he's doing it.
There's a strange code out here, one that I am sure our father swore to, well, at least to some degree.
Or swore at.
Probably a little of both.
Even after all this is said and done, we're still going to have to enforce the law once the warrants you requested on all those outlaws arrive.
Yes. The San Francisco office is supposed to be getting into Denver by train, then stagecoach to Rio. I requested him to be posted to the local marshal's office. I'll ride into town in a few days and check. And by that time, I hope all this will be over.
Most of the miners within a 40-mile radius of the fight had left the mountains and descended on Rio. They didn't want to be caught up in the middle when the lead started flying. Lewis's saloon and gambling hall had been erected, due in no small part to the fact that Lewis paid 3 times what others did for workmen. A smaller building had been built in the rear. This housed the kitchen, living quarters, and a privy attached to the building for maximum comfort and privacy. Cotton was on duty on the wet streets, and Lewis and Johnny sat in the rear of the big wooden canvas saloon. Earl was out of town. Johnny cut his eyes to a miner who had just come into town and was now sucking on a mug of beer.
You heard that miner over yonder, Lewis. What'd you think?
Well, as near as I can figure, discounting the inevitable exaggeration, Smoke and Charlie have killed 7 or 8 of Slater's gang and a couple of bounty hunters. This storm will probably blow out of here sometime tonight. It's raining too hard to keep this up long, so the hunt will resume tomorrow. Slater has to be getting frustrated, and frustration leads to desperate and careless acts. Smoke is fighting several fronts and using varying tactics, including guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla warfare is a nasty business. It's demoralizing for those on the receiving end of it. Slater's people and the bounty hunters will be shooting at shadows from now on. And it's going to be just as dangerous in those mountains for Smoke and Charlie as it is for the outlaws and bounty hunters. Smoke will take some lead in this fight, my friend. I don't see how he can avoid it. Now imagine he's already mentally prepared himself for it.
Seems like trouble's been on Smoke's back trail nearabouts all his life. Ever since I known him, all Smoke wanted was to be left alone to run his ranch, love his wife and kids, and live in peace. He changed his name and hung up his guns for several years, but no man should have to do that. It just isn't right. He never wanted the reputation of a gunfighter. Never got a dime out of any of them penny dreadful books or plays about him. He didn't want the money, but he's a man that won't take no pushing. Man pushes Smoke. Smoke will push back twice as hard as he got. Them mountains best be cleaned good by this rain. 'Cause come morning, they're gonna run red with outlaw blood.
The terrible storm raged over the mountains and then trekked east. Before dawn, Smoke was wide awake and looking at a star-filled sky. It was still dark when he broke camp, picked up his heavy pack, and headed down out of the High Lonesome to face the ever-growing number of bounty hunters and the Lee Slater gang.
All right, boys. Let's get this over with. I want to get back to Sally and the Sugarloaf.
Bark stung the side of his face. Smoke hit the ground, struggled out of his pack, and wormed his way forward, the .44-40 cradled in his arms.
I seen him go down.
Down is one thing, out is another. Jensen's hard to kill.
Move out, but watch it. He's tricky as a snake.
Three of them. Bounty hunters are outlaws. Hell, I really don't care.
Where is the bastard?
Smoke saw a flash of color from a red and white checkered shirt, and he put a .44 slug in it. Smoke stayed low, and the lead sailed harmlessly over his head.
Oh, God! My shoulder's broke! I can't move my arm!
Smoke watched as a hand reached up and shook a bush, trying to draw his fire. He waited. The hand reached up again and exposed a forearm. Smoke shattered the arm.
Back off, John. He's got the upper hand now.
What about Ned?
Ned's luck run out.
Ned, huh? Probably Ned Mallory, the bounty hunter from down New Mexico way.
After a few minutes, he heard the horse's hooves fade away. He made his way to the man named Ned and stood over him. His first slug had broken the man's forearm. The second slug had taken him in the throat. It had not been a very pleasant way to die, but hell, what way is? Smoke refilled his .44 loops with the dead man's cartridges and left him where he lay. He was not being unnecessarily callous. Hell, this was war. And war's not nice any way one chooses to cut it up. He figured the shots would draw a crowd, and he headed away from that location. But every direction he walked, he saw riders coming before they saw him.
All right. This is the way it's gonna be. All bets are off. I can't fight any other way.
Smoke lifted his .44-40 and blew a man out of the saddle, a slug taking him in the center of his chest.
Over yonder!
Another man pointed, and Smoke sighted him in. The man moved just as Smoke squeezed the trigger, and that saved his life, the slug hitting his shoulder instead of his chest. The rider managed to stay in the saddle, but he was out of this hunt, his arm dangling uselessly by his side. A round stung Smoke's shoulder, drawing blood, and another just missed his head. Smoke emptied another saddle. The rider pitched forward, his boot hanging in the stirrup. The horse ran off, dragging the manhunter. Smoke slipped back into the timber, and he jogged for several hundred yards before he was forced to stop to catch his breath. He chose a spot where his back and his left flank would be protected, and he rested. He could hear horses laboring up the grade.
Woo! He's trapped! We got him now, boys! Let's go!
A man forced his tired horse up the slope, and Smoke sighted him in. That relieved the nearly exhausted animal of its burden. Smoke drank some water and ate a piece of dry bread and waited. He was in a good spot. He thought he saw a way out of it should it come to that. But he didn't think it would. The manhunters would soon realize that the advantage was all his this time, and probably back off.
Give it up, Jensen! There's 100 men ringing this range! You can't get out! Come on down and we'll take you alive for trial!
Sure you will.
A man deliberately ran from his cover for a short distance, exposing himself for no more than 2 or 3 seconds.
Fool's play, boys. You must have cut your teeth on amateurs.
Smoke held his fire. The manhunters eventually began firing indiscriminately. They were trying for a ricochet, not knowing that Smoke had taken that into consideration when he chose the spot to hole up. They wasted a lot of lead.
Why don't you boys try for the Slater gang? The mountains are full of them. There's about 50 of them, and they're all wanted by the law.
Nickel and dime rewards, Jensen! You're worth a lot more!
Look around you. The ground is covered with the blood of those who thought the same thing. Think about it.
Rested now, Smoke decided he had to leave his heavy pack, taking with him only what he absolutely needed for survival. He packed that in his bedroll and ground sheet, tied it tight, secured it over one shoulder, and inching his way out of the rocks, making his way around his left flank. When he had worked his way several hundred yards above his last location, he paused and looked down. The sight did not fill him with joy. There were at least 30 men in position, grouped in a semicircle, all around where the manhunters believed Smoke to be. A grim smile curved his lips. He took 4 sticks of dynamite from his roll and planted them under 4 huge boulders, making each fuse slightly longer than the other. Then he lit the fuses and got the hell gone from there. The explosives moved 3 of the huge boulders, sending them cascading down the mountain, picking up smaller boulders as they tumbled. They crushed legs and arms and sent the manhunter scrambling for cover.
You open the dance, boys. Now it's time to pay the band.
Cotton Pickens watched as the first of the shot-up and avalanche victims came limping and staggering back into town.
Good God.
Johnny Norris stepped out into the muddy street and halted the parade of wounded. A man with a bloody bandage tied around his head stared at him.
Where'd you boys tangle with Smoke Jensen?
Just south of Del Norte Peak. There's a half dozen men buried under the rocks. That Jensen is a devil. He caved them rocks in on us deliberate.
And I suppose you boys were just riding around up there taking in all the scenery, huh?
You the law. I want to swear out a warrant against Smoke Jensen.
Move on, mister. There's a new doctor just hung out his sign down the street.
You ain't much of a lawman. What's your name?
Johnny North.
Oh, hell.
Move on. Don't cause any trouble in this town, or you'll answer to me.
As the bounty hunters walked away, Lewis and Cotton joined Johnny.
I count 12 in that bunch. Did he say there were 6 buried under rocks?
Yeah. Smoke must have started a rock slide. Earl said he took a case of dynamite with him. When's Earl getting back? I ain't seen him since he rode up to the county seat.
Today, I'd imagine. He said he'd be gone 3 days. He was going to send some wires. I don't know to whom, but I suspect they concern Smoke.
You really think he knows the President of the United States?
Oh, he probably does. I do.
Meanwhile, Smoke sat patiently and watched a bounty hunter who had decided enough was enough, and Smoke was probably headed out to points unknown by now anyway. Smoke reared up from behind the man, jerked the rider off his horse, and slammed him to the ground. Short, vicious right-hand blows left the rider unconscious. Smoke knew the guy slightly. Name of Kurt South. He was from Utah. A sometimes cowboy, sometimes bounty hunter, sometimes cattle thief, an all-around jerk. He released Kurt's shirt, and the man fell to the ground on his back. Smoke left him where he lay and swung into the saddle. The stirrups were set too short, but he didn't intend to keep the horse long anyway.
Yeah.
Smoke headed across country for the deep timber between Bennett Mountain and Silver Mountain. After a hard 15-minute ride, Smoke reined up and allowed the horse to blow while he inspected the bedroll and saddlebags. The blankets smelled really bad, and they had fleas hopping around them, so he threw them away and kept the ground sheet and canvas shelter half. He found a side of bacon wrapped in heavy paper and some potatoes and half a loaf of bread that wasn't too stale. He smashed Kurt's rifle against a rock. Minutes later, Smoke came around a clump of trees and ran right into the outlaw Blackjack Simpson. And I mean literally right into him. The two horses collided on the narrow game trail and threw both Lee and Smoke to the ground, knocking the wind out of both of them. Blackjack came up to his knees first and tried to smash Smoke's head in with a rock. Smoke kicked him in the gut and sent the man sprawling. Then they were both up, and guns were forgotten as the two men stood in the narrow trail and slugged it out. The Blackjack was unlike most gunmen in that he knew how to use his fist, and he enjoyed a good fight. He slammed a right against Smoke's head and tried to follow through with a left. But Smoke grabbed the man's arm, turned, and threw him to the trail. Blackjack got to his feet and Smoke busted his beak with a straight right that jarred the man right down to his muddy boots. The blow knocked him backward against a tree. With the blood flowing from his broken nose, Blackjack came in, both fists swinging. Smoke hit him a left-right combination that glazed the man's eyes and buckled his knees. Smoke followed through, seizing the advantage. He hammered at the man's belly with his big, work-hardened fists, the blows backing Blackjack up. Smoke's boots struck a rock and threw him off balance. Blackjack grabbed a tree limb from off the ground and tried to smash in Smoke's head. Smoke ducked the limb and kicked Blackjack in the parts. As Blackjack doubled over, Smoke grabbed up the broken limb and smacked Blackjack a good one on the side of the head. Blackjack hit the ground and didn't move. Smoke took the man's guns and smashed them useless, then caught up with the spooked horse. He took Blackjack's .44-40 from his saddle boot and shucked out the ammo, adding that to his own supply. Then he smashed the rifle against a tree. Behind him, Blackjack came too.
Can't do it, can you, Jensen?
Smoke turned to face the man.
Do what, Blackjack?
You won't shoot me, will you?
I'm not a murderer.
That'll get you killed someday, Jensen.
The man tried to get to his feet. Smoke kicked him in the head and sent him to dreamland again. Smoke took Blackjack's small poke of food from his saddlebags, cut Blackjack's cinch strap, and slapped the horse on the rump.
Get off!
Smoke swung into his saddle and looked at the unconscious outlaw.
I should kill you, Blackjack, but you're right. I just can't do it. If I did that, I'd be across the line and joined up with the likes of you. God forbid I should ever enjoy killing.
Smoke rode into the timber, heading straight for trouble. Well, those men who came into Rio thinking the hunt for Smoke Jensen would be no more than a lark took one look at those manhunters who staggered out of the mountains and they hauled their ashes out of the country. With their departing, they left behind them only the hard cases of the bounty hunting profession. Men who gave no thought to a person's innocence or guilt. Men who were there only for the money.
Amazing. The mountains are full of members of the Lee Slater gang, all with a price on their heads. And these dredges of society would willingly consort with them to get to Smoke.
There isn't much to them. I've seen their kind all over the West. Most lawmen don't like them, and few decent members of society have anything more than contempt for them. But I suppose in some instances, they do provide a service for the common good.
Name one.
Well, there's give me a week on that. Well now, would you just look at this?
The man looked up the street. Bloody Charles and his crew were riding in, and his crew had swelled considerably. The men of the 7th Slash turned in toward the marshal's office, where Earl and the other deputies were standing on the boardwalk. The men sat their saddles now and stared at the quartet.
Loaded for bear.
Yeah. I got a hunch this ain't no good news for Smoke.
I'm here to announce our intentions, gentlemen. Smoke Jensen is a wanted man, correct?
That is unfortunately correct.
That being the case, we have come to offer our services toward the cause of law and order.
Like I said, no good news for Smoke.
We want this to be legal and above board, so we came to the appointed law first.
Get to the point.
We are going into the mountains to bring back the murderer, Smoke Jensen.
Dead or alive.
The Carl brothers, Rod and Randy, were amused. Of course, they were pretty easily amused by anything anyway. Both of them were about 4 bricks shy of a load, and they were men who enjoyed killing. Johnny Norris spat on the ground to show his contempt for the goofy pair.
If you wasn't wearing that tin star, I'd call you out for that, North.
Johnny reached up, unpinned the badge, and put it in his pocket.
Make your play, you stupid-looking punk.
No! We have no quarrel with the law, and that's an order.
Some other time, North.
I'm easy to find, Goofy.
Anything else you gentlemen need to know before we pull out?
That would cover it, I suppose.
Well, ain't you lawmen gonna wish us luck?
Personally, I hope you fall off your horse and break your goddamn neck.
You ain't got no call to talk to me like that.
You wanna do something about it?
That's right, boys. We got a killer to bring to justice.
Maybe later.
Anytime, Jake.
The 7th Slash crew and hired guns rode out.
16 more after Smoke's hide. Smoke's gonna need all the luck and skill he can muster to come out of this alive.
How about them wires you sent, Earl?
The Marshal's Service is out of it. But until a panel of federal judges can gather and review all the evidence against Smoke, the warrants stand.
Damn.
Quite. And Sheriff Silver said if we went into the mountains to help Smoke, there would be warrants issued for us. He said he was sorry about that, but that was the way it had to be.
I can understand that. He's sticking his neck out pretty far for Smoke now.
We've all been concentrating on how Smoke is doing. I wonder how Sally is coping with all this.
Sheriff Monty Carson was about to get the answer to Lewis Longmont's question. Bountiful brought her buggy to a dusty sliding halt in front of Sheriff Carson's office.
Monty, Sally's gone.
What? You sure? You talked to the hands?
I finally got one of them to talk. He said he took her down to the road day before yesterday, and she hailed the stage there. He said she had packed some riding breeches in her trunk along with a rifle and a pistol. She was riding the stage down to the railroad and taking a train from there. Train runs all the way through to the county seat. Lord God, Monty, she'll be just about there by now. What are we going to do?
Monty led Bountiful into his office and sat her down. He sat down at his desk.
Nothing we can do, Miss Bountiful. Sally's gone to stand by her man. And them damn outlaws and manhunters down yonder think they got trouble with Smoke. I feel sorry for them if they tangle with Miss Sally. She can shoot just like a man, and has done so plenty of times. She's a crack shot with a rifle and pistol. Smoke's seen to that.
I just feel terrible about this. I should have guessed something was up when I saw her oiling up that .44 the other day. But out here, well, we all keep our guns at the ready.
Wasn't your fault, Miss Bountiful. She's doing what she feels she has to do.
Lee Slater and his bunch came upon Blackjack just as he was getting back on his feet. The man's face was swollen from the kick he'd received from Smoke. That kick had put him out for nearly half an hour.
It cut my cinch, smashed my guns. I'm gonna kill that dirty bastard.
From his horse, Ed Malone shook his head.
There's a lot of people been saying that. So far, the score is Jensen about 15 and the other side, 0. and we're the other side.
Someone rounded up a horse for Blackjack and loaned him a spare gun. Blackjack swung the horse's head.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna kill Smoke Jensen. And this time I'm gonna do it.
Come back here, you son of a bitch!
Let him go.
Lee Slater stared at Kurt Holt.
You know how he is. When he gets mad, he's crazy. Hell, better off without him till he cools down.
Suppose he gets to Jensen before we do.
There'll be one less to share the reward money with. Blackjack ain't gonna take Jensen. Not unless he shoots him in the back.
Nearly everyone on Main Street had seen the elegantly dressed lady step off the train and stroll to the hotel, a porter carrying her trunk. As soon as she mentioned her name, the desk clerk dispatched a boy to run fetch the sheriff. Now Sheriff Silva was standing in the lobby watching Sally Jensen walk down the stairs. She was wearing cowboy boots and jeans, which she filled to the point of causing the men's eyeballs to bug out. A denim shirt, which fitted her pretty damn cozily, too, and she was carrying a leather jacket. She had a bandana tied around her throat and a low-crowned, flat-brimmed hat on her head. She also wore a .44 belted around her waist and carried a short-barreled .44 carbine, and a bandolier of ammo was slung around one shoulder.
Mrs. Jensen! What in the world do you think you're gonna do?
Take a ride, Sheriff Silva.
Sally walked out the door. Silva ran to catch up with her.
Now, you just wait a minute here, Miss Jensen. This ain't no fitting country for a female to be a traipsing around. And besides, ma'am, could you please slow down?
Sally ignored him and kept on walking at a rather brisk pace. She turned into the general store and marched right up to the counter.
I want provisions for 5 days, including food, coffee, pots and pans, and eating utensils, blankets, ground sheets, and tent. Oh, and 5 boxes of .44s, too. Have them ready on a pack frame in 15 minutes. Load it out back, please.
Now, you just hold up on that order, Henry.
You better not cross me, Henry. My name is Mrs. Smoke Jensen, and I can shoot damn near as well as my husband.
Henry turned pale.
And you, Sheriff Silva, would be advised to keep your nose out of my business.
But I...
Yes, Sheriff?
Yes, ma'am.
Silva followed Sally to the livery where she picked out a mean-eyed blue steel.
But there's a stallion, ma'am. He ain't been cut. You can't ride no stallion.
Get out of my way.
It ain't decent, ma'am.
Oh, please. Take that pack animal around to the back of the store, would you?
Oh... Yes, ma'am. Whatever you say, ma'am.
Silva turned to the stable hand.
Send a boy with a fast horse to Rio. Tell them deputies of mine down there that Sally Jensen is pulling out within the hour and looks like she's planning on joining up with her husband. Tell them to do something. Anything!
Oh, my God. Sheriff, don't look. She's fixing to ride that horse astride.
Oh, Lord have mercy. What's this world coming to?
Looking for me, boys.
Crocker and Graham spun around, dropping their coffee cups and grabbed for iron. Smoke's hands were already filled with .44s. Smoke reloaded, listened for a moment, then walked to the fire. He drank the whole pot of coffee, kicked out the fire, and left his tired horse to roll and water and graze, throwing a saddle on a fresh horse that was tied to a picket pin. He took what was left of a chunk of stale bread, sopped out the grease in the frying pan to soften it up, and finished off his lunch. He looked at Crocker and Graham, lying still on the ground.
Nothing personal, boys. You just took the wrong trail, that's all.
Shortly afterwards, Ray Hightower's group came upon the bodies of Crocker and Graham. They sat their horses for a time, looking around the silent camp. The man called Keno spoke first.
I'd like to think they had a good meal before Jensen or that damn old Charlie Starr come up on them. But if I was to bet on it, I'd wager that Jensen killed them and then sat there and ate their food. We're gonna lose this fight, boys. I mean, someone's sure to get lead in Jensen. At least the odds lean that way, but in the end, we're gonna lose.
It just ain't possible what he's a-doing. By rights, we should have killed him the first day or two. This makes near about 10 of us he's killed, and half a dozen or more bounty hunters. We ain't got no clear shot at him yet. I just ain't liking this, boys.
You're right, Sonny. I got me a bad feeling in my guts about this fight.
Bloody Charles and his men were forced to rein in their horses when Charlie Starr stepped out of the timber, blocking the trail. His hands were by his side, by the butts of his guns, and his eyes were hard and unblinking.
We got no quarrel with you, Charlie. It's Jensen we're after.
You got a quarrel with Smoke, you got a quarrel with me. That's the way it is. So I hope you made your peace with God.
Charlie jerked iron and opened the dance. Two of Luddy's hands went down before anyone could even react to the sudden gunfire. Horses were rearing in fright. Several of the riders were dumped from the saddles. Charlie shot Nick Johnson between the eyes, and he fell in the brush. Charlie took a round in his side. He flinched from the painful impact, jerked out two spare six guns from behind his gun belt, and kept on throwing lead. Charlie's left leg folded under him as a .45 hit him in the thigh. He went down, rolling into the brush.
Sons of bitches!
He got to his boots and staggered off into the timber, taking out Ted Danforth with a slug in the belly. Charlie managed to get into the saddle and pointed his horse's head south toward Rio.
God damn it!
No need to chase after him, Luddy. He's had it. I seen him take at least three slugs. He's dead in the saddle by now.
That old bastard just jumped out and killed five of my men. I ain't believing this. I started out with 16 top guns, and my people has been cut damn near a third just now. Jesus Christ!
But now Smoke is alone up here.
Somehow that just don't cheer me.
Blackjack Simpson reined up when he spotted a ground-reined horse.
Well, that ain't the horse Jensen was riding. But the bastard could have changed horses somewhere along the way.
Blackjack stepped down from the saddle and took cover behind a tree, his eyes sweeping the area in front of him. He should have been looking behind him.
You should have stayed where I left you, Blackjack.
Huh?
Blackjack whirled around, his right hand filled with a .45. Smoke shot him twice in the belly and the chest. Blackjack fell back against a tree he thought was giving him cover. The .45 fell from his numbed hand.
Damn you, Jensen.
Blackjack's legs were no longer supported. He slumped to the ground. Smoke kicked the .45 far from Blackjack's reach and walked toward his horse, reloading as he walked.
Wait!
Yeah?
Stay with me till I'm gone, Jensen. Please?
Sure.
Smoke walked back to Blackjack then, reached down and took the .41 Derringer Blackjack had slipped from behind his big silver belt buckle. Blackjack let his hand fall to his side.
Shit!
How'd you know?
I didn't. But people like you never change.
Smoke broke open the Derringer and checked the loads. Full. He slipped the tiny gambler's backup behind his belt.
I'll see you in hell, Jensen.
Maybe. I've done some things that probably qualify me for that place.
We was all so sure about this. 50... 60 of us. One of you? I just can't understand it. What is it that makes you so damn hard to kill?
Maybe it's because I'm right and you boys are wrong.
Smoke stripped the saddle and bridle from Blackjack's gelding.
Gone, hoss.
Last mountain man swung into his saddle.
No point in prolonging this any longer. Let's go meet what I was born to meet.
Lewis, we have a new wrinkle. Word is Sally Jensen is heading into the mountains.
I hereby resign my commission. The rest of you stay here. I gotta get into the mountains and head her off.
You sure you don't want to hand it? What the hell's going on?
You could have heard a pin drop as the lone horse walked down the middle of the street, the rider unconscious in the saddle.
Holy God, that's Charlie.
Johnny ran to the old gunslinger.
Somebody get the doctor!
He gently took Charlie from the blood-soaked saddle and laid him down on the boardwalk.
I'm hard hit, boys.
You'll make it, you old war horse.
I put about 5 or 6 of them down before they plugged me. 7-slash bunch.
Lily LeFever knelt over Charlie.
Don't talk, Charlie.
Hello, baby. Ain't seen you in 10 years.
9. We was down on the border. Now, hush your mouth.
Oh, I'm tired, Miss Lily. Awful tired.
Take him to my quarters and put him in my bed. Move him gentle-like. I count 3 bullet holes in his ornery old hide. Where's that goddamn sawbones?
He's on his way. Is that really Charlie Starr?
Yeah. Now get the hell out of the way and give the man room to breathe.
See you boys later.
You got enough grub, Lewis?
There'll be food in the saddlebags of the outlaws. I'll have a week's supply 15 minutes after I hit the mountains.
Stan and Glover had gotten separated from Noah's group. They were wandering around in circles when they came upon the tall, well-built man dressed all in black. He was kind of a duty-looking fella, except for those guns of his. They looked well used, and his coat was brushed back to give him free access to the Colts. He was just standing in the middle of the trail, smiling sort of strange-like.
How you doing, scum?
Huh?
I said you're scum.
Get out of the way, slicker.
No, I like it here.
Well, you about a stupid feller, then. I might decide to just run you down with this here horse. What do you think about that?
Well, I think your blowhole is overloading your mouth, punk.
You a bounty hunter, mister?
You might say that. I hunt punks, and it looks like I found me a couple.
I'm getting tired of your lip, mister.
We're looking for Smoke Jensen so as we can collect the reward money.
You sorry bastards. You're part of the Lee Slater gang. You're all wanted men with bounties on your own heads. How in the hell do you think you're going to collect any reward money? Get off your horses, throw your guns in the bushes, and start walking.
Mister, you can take your orders and shove them up your ass sideways.
Lewis shot him, his draw blur. As Stan pitched from the saddle, Lewis turned his gun toward Glover just as the outlaw was jerking iron. Lewis drilled him flat center in the chest. Glover was dead before he hit the ground.
Punks.
It was nearing dusk when Al Martine and his bunch spotted Smoke, high up near the timberline in the Big Lonesome.
Ha-hee! We got him, boys!
A rifle bullet took Al's hat off and sent it spinning away. The mountain winds caught it and it was gone forever.
God damn!
Another round kicked up the dirt at his horse's hooves, and the animal started bucking. It was all Al could do to stay in the saddle. A slug smacked Zack in the shoulder and nearly knocked him from the saddle. The second shot tore off the saddle horn and smashed into Zack's upper thigh.
He's got help! Let's get out of here!
The outlaws raced for cover with Zack flopping around in the saddle.
Who you reckon that was a shooting at us?
I don't know! Face hell with a rifle, whoever he is!
Sally Jensen punched 44 rounds into her carbine and settled back into her well-hidden little camp in a narrow depression with the back and one side a solid rock wall. Using field glasses, Sally watched them beat a hasty retreat, then laid out cloth and cup, plate and tableware, and napkin for her early supper. She figured that, well, just because one was in the wilderness surrounded by godless heathens was no reason for one to forego small amenities. Lee Slater sat staring into the flames of the campfire. His brother Luddy sat across the fire from him, equally morose.
Got more bounty hunters in the mountains than boys left in the gang. 12 dead last count, 6 wounded. And you lost 5 of your boys to Star.
You don't have to keep reminding me. This wouldn't have happened if you had kept a tight rein on your boys. Dumbest damn thing you did was attacking Big Rock and shooting up the place. The second dumbest thing you done was shooting Smoke Jensen's wife. And the third dumbest thing you done is torturing and raping and killing that family up north of here.
Oh, shut up!
Don't tell me to shut up. I told you to come straight here and stay out of trouble on the way. We could have had it all, Lee.
We could have taken $1 million worth of gold and silver from the miners and stages and banks and done been gone from this damn place. But oh, hell no. You had to surround yourself with idiots and screw it all up.
We got smoke to the north of us, some damn good riflemen to the east of us, and it looks like Louis Longmont is to the south of us. And there's a bunch of U.S. Marshals camped at the edge of the mountains.
Maybe it's time to haul out of here.
Oh, be damned. Good God, people. Counting Luddy's bunch, there's nearly 50 of us left all told. And we're letting 2 or 3 people whoop us? What the hell's the matter with you? No 1 or 2 people ain't never whooped 50 people. We're doing something wrong is all. We just gotta study this out and find out what it is.
Smoke Jensen and Louis Longmont ain't no average 2 people. And that rifleman that hit us this afternoon wasn't no pilgrim neither. Now you think about this. Hitting Rio is out the window. They'd shoot us to pieces in 10 seconds. The miners has all shut down and gone into town. They ain't digging no gold and they sure ain't shipping none. The county seat is out of the picture. Sheriff Silva ain't no man to fool with. So where the hell does that leave us?
The next morning, Ace Riley, Big Bob Masters, Nap Jacobs, and a few other bounty hunters felt like they were finally figuring out the score.
Jensen's up there, Big Bob.
Uh-huh. Solid rock to his back. 200 yards of open country everywhere else. But it'd be suicide getting up there, Ace.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Ace lifted his canteen to take a drink.
Shit! Ah! Ah!
It exploded in his hand, numbing it and showering him with water and bits of metal. Big Bob took a .44 slug in the gut. He fell off his horse and lay on the ground, both hands holding his punctured belly.
Get to cover!
Ace and Nap left their saddles pronto and found cover.
Jesus Christ, Ace! Where the hell is that coming from?
He's right on top of us, Nap. Over there at the base of that rock face.
In fact, Smoke was hundreds of yards up the mountain, just at the timberline, looking and wondering who the hell his new ally might be. He got his field glasses and began sweeping the area. A slow smile curved his lips as the long lenses made out Sally's face.
I'll be damned. I married a Valkyrie for sure.
Then Smoke saw riders coming hard. A lot of riders, led by Ray Hightower. He grabbed up his .44-40 and began running down the mountain, keeping that timber. The riders dismounted and sought cover. Smoke stayed a good 50 yards above him. So far, he had not been spotted.
Cozy! Over yonder! Get on his right flank! That's exposed!
Because he jumped up and Smoke drilled him.
He's right up above us, Noel!
Then who the hell is that over yonder?
Sally's rifle sent bits of rock into Noah's face. He rose up, and Smoke finished him off. Smoke began dusting the area where the outlaws and bounty hunters had left their horses. The slug spooked him and he ran off, reins trailing, taking food, water, and extra ammo with him.
God damn it, the horses!
Woody ran after the horses. He suddenly stopped right out in the open and realized what a stupid move he'd just made. Smoke slug struck Woody in the side. Sally's .44 hit him in the chest.
You won't need those horses now.
It's no good. They'll pick us off if we stay here. We gotta get out of range. Start making your way down the slope.
The outlaws and bounty hunters didn't need to be told twice by Ace Riley. They began crawling back, staying to cover. Smoke and Sally held their fire, neither of them having a clear target and not wanting to waste ammo.
There's the horses! Come on!
Oh, shit.
What brought those boys up short was the sight of a man dressed all in black, standing by a tree, his hands filled with Colts.
Hello, boys!
Louis Longmont put 3 men down before the rest scrambled for cover.
We yield, goddammit! We yield!
Not in this game.
The pinned down gunmen looked at each other. There were 4 of them left. Nap Jacobs, Ace Riley, and 2 of Slater's boys, Kenny and Summers.
I ain't done you no hurt, Longmont. You got no call to horn in on this play.
But here I am. Make your peace with God.
Now wait a damn minute! You're here, Jensen's up there, who the hell is over yonder in the rocks?
I'm
Mo Jensen!
Christ almighty, Nap, we've been took down by a damn skirt.
I got an idea.
Nap tied a dirty bandana around the barrel of his rifle and waved it.
I'm standing up, people!
He slowly stood up, taking his guns from leather and dropping them on the ground.
I walk out of here, and I'm gone from this country, and I don't come back.
You all with me?
All the way, Nap, if they'll let us leave.
The other two nodded in agreement.
I ain't playing, Ace. If they let us go, I'm gone far and long.
My word on it.
How about it, Jensen?
It's all right with me. But if I see any of you again, any place, any time, and you're wearing a gun, I'll kill you. That's a promise.
Count me in on that.
That makes three of us.
Come on, boys. Let's go. Hell, I always did want to see what's east of the Mississippi.
The bounty hunters and outlaws wasted no time making good on their promise. Afterwards, Smoke, Lewis, and Sally convened.
We gotta get you out of here, Sally.
I concur.
You can both go straight to hell. I didn't travel 250 miles from the Sugarloaf to sit in some hotel room. I came to stand by my man, and that's exactly what I intend to do.
You know, Smoke, bounty hunters and assorted other trash were still pouring into town when I left. We cut the odds down some today, but I'll wager that double that number came into the mountains. It may not be possible to get Sally out of here.
Smoke took a big, tough-looking horse from the mounts that the dead would no longer need. They had all carried food in their saddlebags, so that problem, at least, was solved. They had plenty of coffee and ammo as well.
If we could just find a place to hold up until those warrants are lifted.
No, my friend, I wouldn't stop most of them. The bloodlust is high and hot now. They're like hungry predators on a blood scent.
Well, let's get moving. We gotta find a place that we can defend.
How's Charlie doing, Doc?
Well, he'll make it. That is one tough man in there. I gave him some laudanum, and he's sleeping like a baby. I dug one bullet out of his leg, one out of his side, and another was lodged in his arm. Another bullet grazed his head. He'll have a frightful headache for a time, and a hat would be uncomfortable, but he'll be flat on his back a long time before he needs a hat.
Oh, don't you bet on that. That's a warhorse in there in my bed. And it ain't the first time he's been in my bed. I've wore him down to a frazzle a time or two myself. You got any pills you want to give him?
You're staying with him?
Night and day until I'm sure he's all right.
Earl Sutcliffe stuck his head into the hotel room.
You've got to see this, Johnny. You might never witness another sight quite like it.
Soon, Johnny North was outside, standing with Earl and Cotton, and all of them were staring at the lawyer, Larry Tibson. Larry had bought himself cowboy clothes from hat to boots, and he was wearing two pearl-handled 45s and carrying a Winchester rifle. There was a bandolier of ammo looped across his chest.
He wants to be a deputy.
Boy, are you trying to get yourself killed?
I am going into the mountain to aid Miss Sally.
Miss Sally don't need no aid from you. Boy, if you go blundering around up in them mountains, you're probably gonna get lost and eat up by a bear. And that's the best way you might leave this world. The worst is getting taken alive by them outlaws and have them stick your bare feet in a fire for the fun of it.
I am perfectly capable of taking care of myself. I'll have you know that I belong to the New York City Pistol Club and am a very good shot and have been duck hunting many, many times.
Well, that's good, lawyer. Dandy. I'm proud of your accomplishments, but have you ever faced a man who was shooting at you and plugged him?
Oh, heavens no. Listen, gentlemen, you can talk all you want, but you shan't dissuade me from my mission.
Good Lord. Go get me a badge, Cotton. We'll swear him in. That might give him some edge.
Get him killed, you mean? Say, I seen Mills in town just before the stage run. Did he say anything to any of you? He looked sort of jumpy to me. Excited, guess it was.
No, I saw him too. He met the stage and was gone before I could talk to him. And I wanted to tell him about Charlie.
Wonder what he's got up his sleeve.
I shall endeavor to join with that stalwart group.
Whatever the hell that means.
Now Larry was dismayed when he couldn't find a proper English riding saddle anywhere in town. But he wasn't discouraged. He left town armed to the teeth, sitting in a western rig, bobbing up and down in the saddle as he had been taught.
He's gonna get killed.
Perhaps not. Men like that seem to lead a charmed life. But there is one thing for certain. He won't be the same man coming out as he was going in.
Here they are, men. The warrant's on the Lee Slater gang. Saddle up. We're riding for the deep timber. We got a few hours of daylight left. We get in close and camp and hit the outlaws at first light.
Marshal Mills? We don't know where they are.
We'll follow the sounds of shooting, and we'll put a stop to it before it can escalate further. And pin your badges to your jackets. These men have got to learn to respect the law.
And you think these badges are gonna do that?
Certainly.
Right.